The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcasting Network. Geeky programming for all the nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcast community forums and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast, and I am Barcarious Dingleflap, and with me is the Uncommon Writer, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And across the pond is, as always, the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
And the stupid, awesome analyst, John.
Yo.
As well as Victoria.
The lovebird.
Hi. Yeah. I'm sorry, she does have a nickname.
Oh, jeez. Why that one?
And here we go. So this month, we are doing con month. Con season has already started, but this month in particular, the month of May, Wicked Anime will be attending Anime Boston. So we are doing all this month with all con-related things. We're doing cosplay episodes. Today's episode is the survival guide for the convention. And then we're going to be doing a post-con one for you guys.
Yep. And ironically, Glitch is not joining us today because he is at a con. He's in Chaoticon in Tampa, Florida.
He's dressed as Ed from Good Burger.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
serious?
If you're in Tampa,
he looks,
yeah. I want
he looks like him.
Yeah, he really does.
All right, let's get into it.
Yep.
News bell.
News.
Let's try.
News.
All right, we don't have a lot of news this time
because
so
we're going to be talking about the conventions.
Whatever. All right, we're going to just run through some media that we got. First up in media, Takashi Shizumu, the director of The Grudge, is making a live action Kiki's Delivery Service movie.
Really?
What?
Yep. Now,
I bet you guys were not expecting me to be excited about that.
Now, it is not being endorsed by Studio Ghibli because Studio Ghibli does not outside... One, they don't like having things being remade from them. And two, they don't like having other directors do their work.
So it's kind of like Alan Moore.
Yeah. The only reason why they're allowing the Kiki's Delivery Service live-action movie being made is because Kiki's Delivery Service isn't an original story from Studio Ghibli.
So somebody just bought the rights to do the live-action version, and Ghibli is like, well, fine, if you're gonna do it, do it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, basically, it's like, well, we can't really do anything about it because it wasn't our story to begin with. It's kind of like the same way that they did The Secret World of Arrietty, you know, Studio Ghibli. That's not their story either. So if somebody else wanted to make another Borrowers movie, they could. Also, in Studio Ghibli news, Miyazaki has created some concept work for Kaiju Monsters for a live-action short film, which is a Nausicaa prequel.
What?
Yeah, you should.
Wow.
Yeah, you should look it up. I'll put it in the movie in the description. It is crazy. The monster that he made, or maybe I won't be able to find the video. I can't remember. Like, but there's articles about it, and there's pictures of the monster he created, and it is just one of the coolest kaiju looking things ever.
I mean, the original monster creations for Nausicaa were pretty.
Yeah,
pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, the Ohms were really awesome. Cool. So, next up in media. The Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, we've talked about them in past episodes. They're
good people.
Doesn't
yes,
ring a
they
bell.
Are. They are. Last time we talked about them, they released a micro-documentary of the Ryan Matheson case with the whole of him being arrested in Canada for having anime on his computer.
Oh, yeah.
Now they are reporting on Japan's new Article 175, which is making it illegal to sell quote-unquote obscene materials in convenience stores, which means convenience stores can no longer sell anything of the 18-plus genre. And the reason why the 18-plus material can't be sold in stores anymore is not because of this Article 175. It's because the article is so unclear and vague about what it talks about.
That store owners just
owners just don't want to take the penalty if they sell this, you know, these materials. So they're just choosing not to sell any obscene materials anymore.
I don't think that's such a bad thing.
No, I mean, it's not like it's free on the internet anyways.
Well, and not to mention it's not like we can't still buy it here because
it's true. I mean, but just having it not accessible to minors, I don't think that's a terrible thing.
No, that's not a bad thing at all. Because I mean, especially if it's hanging out in the open like it usually is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody can go watch that,
but
or go see it.
One thing that it's really taking an effect on, which is why the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is focusing on it, is not because it's just like a pornographic industry is, you know, being hurt by this. It's the artists who are being hurt by it, because these are like, you know, 2D drawing artists that may not be doing, you know, pornographic material, but just erotic art. And there's magazines that just do art, you know, for this sort of thing, and they are no longer having to be, they can't get their work published in these magazines anymore because Article 175 is not allowing it to be sold anywhere. So therefore, artists cannot sell their work anymore. So that's where the problem comes in. It's not the adult.
Yeah, it's not the distribution of it. It's the creation of it.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate a little bit here, and If it's like you're saying, where it's these artists that are producing art that's not being allowed to be sold in these particular venues anymore, you, as an artist, you have to stop and go, if I really consider this to be art and I'm doing it for the sake of making money at art, is a convenience store really my target demographic here? Just throwing that out there. Like, well, if it's real art, I happen to know that there are other venues, online galleries, you can do it through bookstores, you know, so on and so forth, that you can actually sell your stuff and still make money. I mean, it just, I don't know. I'm not seeing the problem here.
Is this only for convenience stores, or is it for every?
It's not. It's for any retailer.
Like Akiba District.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's just, like, and it's not even like convenience stores. It's the fact that the magazine is available altogether. You know, it is merchants that do have the problem with Article 175. So it's probably available. The magazine is probably still available somewhere else, but it's harder to find because you can't just find it on shelves just being distributed, you know?
Mm. Oh, I can see that. If you're making questionable content, you have to be prepared for things like this to happen.
No,
you
know? I agree. I agree. All right. So our last piece of media news for today, the new Sailor Moon series has been delayed. And it was supposed to come out next season. It was supposed to come out this summer 2013. But now we don't know when it's going to come out. The director and creator or writer, one of the people who was posted a tweet the other day saying that they're not expecting it to come out on time anymore. And I gotta admit, I was kind of looking forward to seeing a new...
Oh, no, I was absolutely...
A new Sailor Moon series, because, you know, who doesn't like Sailor Moon? Sean?
I'm actually not a huge fan.
That's fine. It's not everybody...
I'm so surprised!
I used to be a big fan of it, but I stopped.
I can usually stomach it more than most other shoujo crap, because it's at least Sentai, but...
Well, the thing of it is, I mean, like, despite the fact that it's a magical girl, you know, thing, Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon are the thing that got anime influence into America. You know, it's the only reason why the industry took off is because both, or like, you know, those shows as a part, you know, showed up here. And it's just kind of like, I would look forward to a new Sailor Moon series that for nostalgic reasons.
Mm-hmm. I actually didn't watch either of those as a kid. I missed both of them. My intro was Pokemon.
That far?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we weren't into anime at the time either. But I mean,
I watched all three religiously. those three, and then Cardcaptor Sakura. I watched religiously growing up.
That aside, though,
back when Saturday morning cartoons were good.
What was that, Sean?
I was saying that aside, though, I didn't catch either of those while they were airing. I caught some of Sailor Moon, like, in my late teens, and then I didn't sit down and watch any episodes of Dragon Ball Z until I was an adult, like, full-on adult.
Yeah, when you realize that there's way better choices now.
Yeah, which is why I haven't watched any more of it.
Okay.
So that's not true. I watched a lot of Kai, for some reason.
Because it's cut out all the crap?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know my hatred of filler, so... Yeah.
They killed Frieza and Krillin in one episode.
Brilliant.
Instead of, like, what, five?
Five about.
Yeah.
100. Okay, so moving on from there, that's all for media news, and we don't have any gaming news this time around. So it's time for some strange news.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so our strange news piece this episode comes from China, and...
As they usually do.
Yeah. And it's actually an ongoing story in something that has been a problem in China for a decade or so. It's a food scandal. And what the food scandal was this time...
Is it Soylent Green?
No. The lamb on food shelves that they have been selling, like lamb meat, has actually been rat meat for the past... For at least 3 months. At least 3 months, there has been cases of rat meat replacing lamb meat. And what they did was they put... They took rat meat and they put gelatin extract in it and have been selling it as lamb.
Okay, I have a question. Okay. And work through this with me, guys. So lambs are fairly large animals, correct?
Right. Okay. I'm following you. I follow.
Rats tend to be a little bit smaller. I mean,
depends on where you live.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, like in the sewer?
Yeah. On average, rats are a smaller source of meat, correct?
Yes.
Doesn't it seem like that would be a lot more work?
Have you been in a subway?
No,
you can catch them
we
with
don't
a fish
go
net.
Underground.
He lives in Florida. There is no subway in Florida.
If you go underground in Florida, you're underwater.
They don't even have basements.
No.
Remember, he
See,
grew
I
up
can tell
on a
you where to find the rats
farm.
In Florida. I would just get in Let's trouble with my future home company.
Shut up, Dylan. No, I'm just saying, like, and I've seen field rats and stuff. They're not that big. Lambs are, like, full-on animals.
Yeah, go to a city. And you'll...
A real city, Sean.
Not Orlando.
Guys, I've never seen... There's just no way that rats can be bigger than lambs.
Well, no.
That equation doesn't work.
They probably just take a lot of rats.
That's what I'm saying. There are a lot of rats.
There's this thing you can do with meat, Sean, that is cutting it into smaller pieces.
Well, I get that. No. Mincing and hamburgerizing meat and all that fun stuff. Yes. Okay, I get that. My point is that's a lot of fucking skinning. Have you ever skinned an animal before?
No, but I guess you did since you grew up on a farm.
I'm just saying, seems like a lot of work.
Probably, but they saved a lot of money doing that, of course, because rats are free.
and everywhere.
And because rats are not something suitable for selling to be eaten.
Consumption?
Yeah. They didn't have to pass health code with them because they weren't, you know, marketed as something that could be passed off as such. You know?
It's like, we know nobody's going to eat a rat. We're not going to include this.
Yeah. So this has been, there's been a 3 month hunt for people, you know, in this scandal. And in those 3 months, there have been 380 cases trying to hunt down this scandal. And there have been 904 arrests.
Wow.
904 arrests?
Wow.
Yeah, that's like 0.000001% of China. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, in the course of a single criminal investigation, that's massive.
Yeah. And there have been, like, thousands of people, like just food scandals in general, there have been thousands of people prosecuted in these. Like, there's been food scandals with, like...
Well, we talked about the shark fin thing before.
We talked about the shark fin thing
that made it
on
like
an episode.
Plastic.
There's also been a case of milk. Like, they've done something to their milk
to
process it.
I'm just never going to China.
Never eat, yeah. Say note to self, never eat food when I visit China.
Yeah.
When are you going to visit China?
Someday. I want to travel.
So you pass over China?
Yeah, probably. I'll just stay with Europe.
Yeah, it's a Passover country.
I'll go there.
That's a maybe next year country.
But they have a Disney
maybe next
there.
Time.
They
nah.
Have a Disney there.
They do. They have Disney in Hong Kong.
They have a huge wall. I've heard.
Oh yeah, right.
It's pretty big wall.
Keep them barbarians out. I wonder if there's still, like, generations at the wall just going, like, hey, are you going to let us in now?
Well, no, because, I mean, at one point, that was the border of China. And China, now that wall is completely within China. So, I don't think it's really serving its original purpose anymore.
Yeah, but maybe the barbarians don't know that.
Just two really unruly neighbors.
It was the Mongols. Yeah. There are no more Mongols anymore.
Says you. Well, that's not true. Do you know how many descendants?
Yes, there are Mongols.
Like a 0.015 chance you're a descendant of Genghis Khan.
Right.
Really?
That's the point I was going to make, but you guys kept interrupting me. Yeah. I know stuff too.
Well, I interrupted you with the point you were making, so.
I know, but now you get the credit for being all smart.
Yeah, well, I don't get that often, so I'll take it.
It's true.
In fact, that percent might not be accurate, so.
And that's as strange as it gets.
Yeah, that got strange. That's really?
Ugh. Yep. Gross. Did you know that in World War I, the trench rats would get as large as cats? Just saying.
I just pictured someone holding a rat patting it like it was a cat.
Named it Fluffy.
Yes.
I just had a picture of somebody. I just pictured someone bayoneting one because they thought it was a fucking.
I just pictured
monster.
The bad guy from Inspector Gadget. Like a rat.
Dr. Claw?
Yes.
I'll get you, Inspector Gadget.
Claw MD.
He'd be a lot scarier with a rat, though.
Moving on.
Okay, it's time to find out what we're watching. Who's been watching something? I know me and Victoria are going to discuss a lot on what we were watching. Yes. So.
I haven't been watching something, but I have been playing something that's anime related.
Okay.
I've been what is the full title? It's Yu-Gi-Oh 5D's Duel Decades, I think.
PS5. 5D's.
Yeah,
that's
5D's.
That's a bad anime to watch. I've seen a couple episodes of 5D's. It's funny.
Yeah, but I got that because I felt like playing some cards. And it was fun because you could download the demo. And I won, I think, 5 out of 6 games. And I was like, okay, I'll get this. And then as soon as I bought it, it seems like it got exponentially harder. The second match I played, my opponent was able to summon Obelisk the Tormentor, which...
I'm going to be honest, it doesn't sound good.
He's one of 3 god cards, and they're not called god cards because they're easy to defeat. There happened to be like a whole season about the 3 cards on the show.
Wow. So is this like somebody dropping like a legendary Pokemon in like your second match? You're just like, wow.
It felt that way. I literally was like, are you kidding me? And then I just put the controller down. I was like, well, that just doesn't matter.
I'm here using Tac-Tac.
Yeah. I don't know if I would really recommend the game. I sort of like it. I sort of like it just for... It's fun to just pick up real quick and play like a game, even though I'll probably lose. But it's sort of like a pay-to-win game because you can buy card packs and you sort of really need to.
Is not cool.
The way you get cards is you like do well. Like you get points for doing certain things in the match, but it's hard to do well if you like keep losing because you don't have a good deck to start with, really.
Well, that sucks. Does it have an online capability? Like, can you jump on and play with other newbies?
It does have an online multiplayer function, but I haven't been able to play it yet. I didn't have any success finding a match.
You get, like, a starter pack card, and it's just like...
And I probably would have been paired with somebody that could have whooped my ass.
Yeah, probably. Half Yu-Gi-Oh cards, half Magic cards that are used. It's like, this is a mana card! What the heck? I can't even play this!
That's a 4 of hearts!
I was going to say, you've got a 7 of diamonds! What do I even do with this? Give up. Please stop the raping.
Sean, did you end up watching that anime that you said you were going to watch? Susei of Gratania? Yeah.
The Gargantia?
Susei no...
Gargantia.
Is it Gargantia?
It's called Gargantia on the Virtuous Planet in English. I don't know the Japanese. Don't make me say it.
Yeah, Susei no Gargantua. Cool, because I watched that one too. And actually, Andrew and I both watched
That one.
We watched the first episode.
I've seen all the way through episode 4, and episode 5 comes out today.
Because I really liked it.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's, like, mind-blowingly gorgeous.
Yeah.
That is Like, the only word I can use to describe how good-looking that show is life.
There's a lot of cute-looking girls in that show. There's going to be a lot of cute girl characters.
Yeah, there are some pretty cute girls. Well, it's not even that. It's just, like, the color palette that they chose for that anime is just great.
Oh, sorry. One of the things that I really like is, you know, I'm not really a mecha fan. Neither Jonathan or I have been really huge into mecha animes, per se. Like,
you guys
Gundam.
Are guys, right?
Yeah. But, what? Anyway,
ask that again when we go over our anime.
I really, really like the concepts. Generally, the mecha animes that I gravitate towards are the ones where the mecha has a personality, and they establish that right away with this anime, is that his robot has an AI that's an actual character in the show.
Yeah, Chamber's pretty cool.
It's a pretty cool idea.
So I'm watching a couple of other things, too, if you want me to go ahead and jump into that, too.
Shoot. Okay.
I've stuck with Majestic Prince, fifth episode. We're on the fifth episode now. It's starting to get a little bit darker. Still taking its sweet-ass time, though.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It can be hard to watch sometimes when that girl just starts... I'm like, I can't take this anymore. I am not a misogynist. You guys know this. I love strong female characters. I do not like over-the-top girly shit.
Right. That has nothing to do with misogyny, just by the way.
What? I'm just making sure.
You said the same thing last episode. We thought you were racist. You're like, I don't want to be racist. Like, Sean, that's not racist.
Okay. Well, I'm just making sure. Watching that, I started Sword Art Online with my girlfriend.
I want to see that one.
It's really good.
Apparently when season 2 comes around, you're going to be very, very disappointed.
Oh, I'll stick with it for the first season then.
Yeah, do you remember we talked about this on our Manime episode with Kent?
No.
It gets a little incesty towards the second season.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, and the thing is too...
I didn't realize that was a word.
I guess at the end of season 1, it's like a really good ending where they're like, oh, if they ended the anime right there, I would be so happy. Season 2 comes in and they ruin the whole end of season 1. Because he jumps right back into it.
I kind of wish you hadn't told me that now.
well, this is old news.
Yeah, this is old news.
Okay, so
literally talked about this already on the podcast, so...
I know, but I break out a lot of what we do.
And I didn't spoil anything, I just said what I heard. I haven't even seen the anime.
So I watched Sword Art Online, Majestic Prince, I'm still trying to turn through Soul Eater, but this is like my third go-through of Soul Eater, and I'm waiting on somebody else to watch it, so if I don't finish it, I'm completely okay. I've seen all of Soul Eater. I'm really happy to say that now.
Well, there's a rumor of them rebooting Soul Eater.
Rebooting as in restarting over from episode 1?
There's kind of like a debate between... That's what I was actually just Googling because I heard it from someone. I was checking it. And there's like a debate back and forth whether they're going to restart it like they did with Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to like do the manga thing.
But they can't do that though because they've already followed it.
But they followed it and then they kind of caught up too much and the manga wasn't going. So there's a rumor that they'll do that or they'll just kind of go back a little bit and not end it with punch of friendship.
And continue.
Yeah.
That would be nice if they just continued, if they take out all like the fighting talking crap.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, so there is like a rumor of it being rebooted.
And then one other thing I'm watching, which is I watched the second episode of Akiva Ranger this morning. There is a new Blue Ranger, which is nice. They did her introduction really well. We actually get the introduction of I guess this season's bad guy. And this looks like this could be interesting. Are you guys caught up on it?
No, we haven't watched it at all. Yeah, still need to finish season 1, Sean.
You guys burned through like 8 seasons of every other anime. There's only 13 22-minute episodes of the whole first season.
Yeah, well, we're busy watching all those other 8 seasons of other stuff.
Of Ramna. Of Ramna. It's not going anywhere.
I am watching Ranma, and I only watch that on my break at work, which I'm on season.
Oh, I have work.
I'm on season 6. Well, that's... I'll do mine first. Mine was the Gargantua anime mostly, but I have been also watching a lot of foreign movies on Amazon Instant Video. I've been watching a lot of live action Japanese movies and live action Chinese movies, and there's
there's a really big difference in... For Japanese movies, there's a really big difference between their animated movies and their live-action movies. I don't know what it is, but they always tend to go towards the way more ridiculous with their live-action movies, and they just never turn out good. But the thing of it is, and then I went to... I watched some Chinese movies, and, well, we all know that Chinese action movies are great. I watched one in particular with Donnie Yen, Bodyguards and Assassins, which was awesome.
Oh, man, Donnie Yen's awesome.
Yeah, he is. And I just, like, noticed, it's just an observation that, you know, Japan has the animated market when it comes to movies and TV shows, but China definitely has the live action market, you know, between the China and Japan feuds.
Okay. Is that it?
That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, aside from that, Jonathan and I have continued to watch Attack on Titan. It's really good.
Again, it's really good, but it is really slow.
Well,
they're taking their sweet-ass time.
Well, that's why it's going to take an entire year for them to release the anime, is because it's going like, okay, I get the story now, okay. But it's fantastic.
It's been five episodes, and they haven't killed a single Titan.
Yeah.
And it's called Attack on Titan.
But don't get us wrong. That's just a nitpick because the story is really fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
We continue to watch Mushi Bugyo. It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's good. It's not great.
It's not great.
I hate it when animes take their time in the first. They're on episode 5 and they're still doing character introductions. And just tell a story.
Yeah.
Come on. I had a commenter on the Lupin the Third. Review that I did a while back, and he didn't like it because of what I was talking about, because I only...
He called Fujiko a shallow character.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, the point is, it's not a good start for other people because they keep introducing characters. Tell a story, introduce characters while you're telling a story. Don't just introduce characters.
Yeah.
I guess that's a nitpick that I should have mentioned last episode.
Yeah. Anyway, so continue on. I'm still watching Ori Emo, and that is easily jumping up to probably one of my top favorite animes now. I just love that show. It's great. I love watching it every time it comes out. But the big anime that we're going to talk about, which me and Victoria are going to talk about together, is an anime that's been out for a very long time. It started in 2006 and finished up in 2012 with 4 seasons, and we both crushed it in under a week.
Yep. Well, it started because I was really just wanted some, like, a romantic comedy type thing. I was looking for all, like, movies that had a good couple in it, and then I went on YouTube and looked up, like, good romantic comedy animes and, like, people's top lists, and this one came up. And I haven't been able to stop watching it.
It's called The Familiar of Zero. It's been out for a long time. So the reason why I jumped onto it was because she told me about it and how she was going through it like crazy. So we checked, Jonathan and I checked it out, and I continued watching it, and I was like, oh yeah, I kind of know this anime. I'm familiar with it through hentai. And then,
I didn't know it was porn.
Anyway,
that's until all the boobs.
That was a joke, by the way. Anyway,
it's not that bad.
But Tumblr is a very, very hentai-heavy place. So.
I will not look this up on Tumblr.
Anyway, the whole concept of the show is it's about a magic academy. And the second year is what they do to get into the, you know, their second year is they summon their familiar. All right.
Okay.
So this girl, Louise, who, you know, at the beginning, you know, she doesn't know any magic. She's a loser kind of thing.
She's called Louise the Zero.
Yeah, she's called Louise the Zero. She summons a human as her familiar.
Okay. Ripped right out of Japan.
So right off the bat, I was like, oh, that's a really hilarious concept. You know, like somebody, like you summon a creature as a familiar, usually in fantasy, and she summoned a human. That's funny. I started watching the show. Yes, it's a harem anime, and I don't mind watching harem animes. I don't mind admitting I like watching harem animes. What I have a problem with it, like, I really like the show overall. It was good. It kept me watching it for 4 seasons. But one of the things that I just have a huge problem with is the main character, the guy, Saito.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, what a wuss. Like, seriously? Like, there's absolutely nothing appealing about him. I, like, did not like him the entire time I was watching it, because he is just a wuss.
He is really, really a wuss. But he's also, like, I can't tell if he's a pervert. Only time he's ever, like, tough and,
is Manly never.
Is, well, when no, when Luis is kidnapped, he like gets all tougher.
That but, was like, stupid though, because he was like, "Oh, I'm strong because I have this magic power. Now yeah, I'm brave."
True.
No, I was not on board with Saito.
I want to headbutt every one of the characters.
His sword is more
about.
Of a yeah. His no. sword is more of a man than
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, no, he is. Delph was an awesome character. Yeah. His sword talks to him and everything, and it was really cool. He was a great character, but anyway, getting onto like the harem topic of it, there's only one girl who was written to actually fall in love with Saito, and that's because he rescued her. So like, because for the first two seasons of the show, she didn't want anything to do with him. It was very normal, like, yeah, we're friends kind of thing. I know who he is. We're friends. That's cool. And then she saved him, and that's why she fell in love with him and became part of the harem. And I was like, that makes sense. But every other girl in the show is just like, oh, fall in love with him. Yay.
And pheromones.
Yeah. It was weird.
Well, I think she got more respect for him because, like, I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but, like, things happen.
Won't be spoiling anything for me.
This is not a Sean anime.
Well, like, it gets to the point where when she betrays them, like, just to save her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. However, it's a very, very good character crush type anime. Yes. Like, because it's, you know, it's a harem, so there's a lot of females in it.
Oh, yeah,
I went to Victoria, and I said, see if, like, you know me really well. See if you can guess my character crush from this show.
And there was no cat girl, so it wasn't easy.
Wow. That'd be really difficult.
I was like, what am I going to do?
No,
the one who looks the youngest.
Oh, shut up.
What? Louisa, what? No, well, there's a couple characters that
you
can
do
seriously...
have a little bit of a pattern, Andrew.
Well, there's characters that can, like, literally kick your ass. But there's only one that can do it without magic, and that's what I guess, and that's Agnes, and she's awesome.
She nailed it. She's like, oh, you must be character crushing on Agnes. And I was like, wow, you are good.
She's this really tough character with a really, really depressing backstory.
She's basically the character that you would also be character crushing on, Sean. She's like kind of like the Major Motoko, the...
See, before like, I guess there's
see,
yours, like,
no,
I guess
this is. I can actually tell you I wouldn't be character crushing on her. You know why?
Why?
Wouldn't be dead watching the show.
Yeah, so overall the anime was good, and then like, and I, you know, I watched the whole thing and it's good.
I love it so much.
Yeah, and that's our differing opinion.
I don't want to, but I like the couple and it's really cute.
I gotta be honest, I really, really hated Saito and Luis being
the
main
couple.
Oh my god. There was no reason for her to like him.
But they were really cute together. It gets to the point where I really wanna just punch Siesta so bad.
Yeah, so that completes what we're watching. So you actually might see a review come out for Familiar Zero for me.
I think you just did it.
Let's move on to the Con Survival Guide. Let's
Thank
start
you,
off with pros and cons.
Hello. As for the Con Survival Guide, I guess we should talk about what some good do's and don'ts for going to a convention.
Can I go with the most ignored do?
What's that?
The one that everybody ignores and it's the one thing that they shouldn't?
Let me guess.
Deodorant?
Shower.
Yes. Please God. You're going to be at this place for approximately 3 to 4 days, depending on the convention. You probably have a hotel room. And I know that in most hotel rooms, they have these things called showers. Please use them.
They have free soap in them.
They do. They come with soap. It's
yeah,
amazing.
But
and
most
towels.
Most con people take the soap and write their room number on the windows when they have a rave between the two hotels.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well...
Well, we can't do that anymore. You'll get kicked out.
You just don't get caught.
It's right on the window with a room number on it.
There was an accidental rave while the rave was going on.
Wow.
I met people from a lot of different places. Well, you just kind of like, because the hotel has like the two towers kind of between, and like so the windows are between each other, and people were flashing the light on and off. And looking out the window, and more people were flashing it. It got to the point where there was 11 on that side and about 12 on our side. James had the lightsaber, just kept flicking it. And I had the just like light next to us, and then Tyler and Daisy were there, and it was absolutely crazy. We met people from a bunch of different places.
If you're bringing extra pair of shoes, and I know this seems really crazy, but as somebody who's been to a convention and had their shoes break mid-convention, bring a pair of shoes. It helps.
What are they?
Or at least comfortable shoes to begin with.
Yeah. Well, I was wearing sandals because, again, I live in Florida.
That's why.
And I was at a Florida convention and I was walking around and went down the stairs and my sandals broke and I was then shoeless for the next 2 days.
You were just cosplaying as a homeless person.
Or a hobbit, because I'm like that. But no, fortunately, somebody else had brought an extra pair of shoes. Like, it's just one of those things. Bring snacks, bring a drink.
Bring water.
Oh, yeah. My God, yes.
No, that should be obvious, but people really do not get that concept.
Seriously, we've seen so many posts of, I drink Monster, all convention. That is a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much sickness you will get from doing that?
The con sick.
Yeah, like dehydration, like vomiting. If you drink Monster, here's what I suggest. Seriously, honestly, vitamin water. Basically, for the past couple, all through the winter, I've been drinking Power C vitamin water, which is like the dragon fruit flavor, and that's the immune boost one. So one, it hydrates you. Two, it literally, I was in a house full of sick people and never got sick once. Yeah, it's magic.
There's a couple of things you can do. Like, if you're just going to the convention, get a case of water, bring it with you to your hotel room. Take a couple out every morning, throw them in your bag because you're going to have a bag on you. When you go back for lunch, grab a couple more, keep doing it. If you're at a booth, we would take 2 cases of water and just stick them under the booth. And we would just have water at the booth. And more than once, I would like hand someone to someone that I was like, oh, I'm getting a headache. Well, it's probably because you're dehydrated. Have a bottle of water.
Yeah. Seriously, guys, if you're listening to this, don't drink soda. Don't drink Monster. You're going to get dehydrated, and it might get you very, very sick. Water and sports drinks.
We get
and
very, vodka. Very
sick. Don't forget vodka.
Well, I was actually going to get on to the drinking in a moment.
Well, that's a dude that I was going to say. I learned from a couple conventions, bring Advil or Motrin of some kind, because even if you don't need it, someone's gonna. Because medicine I yelled at you to take because you wouldn't take it. It was like Advil allergy and sinus. I call it it's literally magic.
Okay, here's the thing. Let's tell the story.
Yeah, I like the story.
If you guys saw the Wicked anime, our premiere video, the anime Boston 2012 video, you know that we were very, very sick at the end of the convention.
I was immobilized. That last shot, if you watch her anime Boston video, that last shot, I am lying down on the bed because I cannot stand. I was so sick. However, Victoria, go ahead.
I showed up because they told us that Jonathan was sick, and I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? He told me what was wrong. I was like, take this. He's like, no. Because you're like, I don't want it. I'm like, just take the
medicine. I have a problem with taking medicine and of any kind, even if they're like placebos. I like don't take Tylenol or anything like that for colds. I just don't.
Yeah, because I had a cold once and I was like dying. I went to Rite Aid and they gave me this.
Hold your hand over his mouth.
I was just like, seriously, just please, just take it, try it, and what was it, like an hour later?
It was Aleve.
It's Advil allergy and sinus.
Allergy and sinus. I didn't have an allergy. I had a fever. I fell asleep in the fetal position with a cold bottle of water to my stomach. I woke up the next morning in that same position. I took the Aleve.
Advil allergy and sinus.
Advil
magic.
Yeah, and in an hour, I was fine. I could go to the convention.
Yeah, he called us like, hey, can I come meet up with you guys? I'm like, I told you. I'm bringing another box of that just in case.
Yeah.
There's one other thing I want to bring up, and this is something that I don't think a lot of people address because most people just go to conventions as convention goers. They're not, they usually don't either put on panels or booths or anything. It's more of a vacation thing.
Yeah.
From the other side of the table, from the guys that are sitting in the booths, the guys that are putting on the shows, if you are hanging out in front of somewhere a person is trying to do business, don't. As cool as you
absolutely
think they are,
not.
As fun, as friendly, they don't appreciate it. I can promise you that. Appreciate the business. Definitely go in. Look at their stuff. If you're going to buy something, buy something. It's cool to have a conversation once. But once you do that, move on to other parts of the convention. Standing in front of people's booths or monopolizing someone's time who's trying to run the convention, it is massively aggravating for them. And they have no way of politely telling you to go away.
I will say one thing, though, because I've kind of done the same thing before. Obviously, not on purpose.
Right. And a lot of people don't know they're doing it.
Well, but the thing is, it's a booth that I went to, had a really great conversation with the person. And then left. And then when I came back to actually buy something, or not actually buy something, but buy something again from them, he actually started the conversation up with me.
So that's okay.
Yeah, that's
fine. If the person remembers you and wants to continue talking to you like they did with me, that's the reason why I was there.
Absolutely. Well,
so that's fine.
Here's a sure sign that they don't want you at the booth anymore. They ask you to run a favor.
Wow. Okay. That's good because nobody's ever said that to me before. So that's pretty good.
I've had somebody go get me food before because I wanted them to just go away. Deadly serious. Yeah. It's one of those things that like, you may not know it. And we all know how fanboyish and girlish that we get over these things. Believe me, I've been there in front of several comic book creators' booths, just gibbering to myself. And it's one of those things that if you don't know about it and you don't know that you're doing it, you're just going to aggravate the people around you. And there's too many people in these places to aggravate.
But of course, but then you have the, probably when we get to the don'ts, the people who don't, so, who don't know that they're doing this.
Yeah. Just warning. If you've never been to a convention before, expect a lot of people with social issues. This is going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's true. I've stood in many an autograph line with people in front of me talking to me who I did not want them to talk to me.
They're the most.
I put my headphones in. I listened to my music, and they still try to talk to me.
There will be inappropriate conversations. Be careful with people like inappropriate touching and cosplayers. Seen that one before.
Yep. You might meet somebody else's mom.
Someone glomped DeLong once and almost knocked him down the stairs.
No, there was a con story that I actually read one time of two people were having a conversation and somebody was cosplaying as a character from the same series, and the person that they were having a conversation with said, "Oh, by the way, here's this for spoiler," and they punched them because they were cosplaying as that character that of something they did in that series. So, and I don't know if they know this or not. But they're not that person.
Scary.
Don't punch people that you don't know. Please don't punch anybody.
I wouldn't recommend punching people you do know either, unless they really, really deserve it.
Yeah, unless it's somebody like,
and some of them really deserve it.
Yeah, I feel like I've smacked you two at least once.
But
we know each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to hit people that go to the rave. You can hit those people. That is okay.
That's why I don't go to the rave.
they expect it coming. They know this.
I got ice packs ready. Let's go.
I guess that was a good transition into don'ts. So I actually have one that I want to say, which came from Glitch, seeing that he's not here. This is one that he reported back from Chaoticon. Gentlemen, there is an unwritten rule to our bathroom code that you do not break. And that is, if you are at a stall, you do not make eye contact and you do not talk during that time.
Yeah.
There's no talking at the urinals.
You know this.
It's completely different in your DNA, supposed to talk over the stall.
And hold on. And even though
urinal.
And even though you are dressed as a character that somebody may know, or even the fact that you're going to the same event, you still cannot break that code.
No. Sink is,
if you're in the bathroom,
sink is good.
No, well, it's a gray area.
I think sink is fine.
It's a gray area.
Yeah, you're cleaning yourself up.
But generally, if you're in the bathroom, you do not talk to each other. That is a man rule, yes.
Guy rules are so weird. I mean, girls go to the bathroom together on purpose to talk to each other while they're in there.
You go by twos, and if you don't, then you're the odd one out.
And I mean, when you do go, let's all girls will do is we'll just talk and gossip about the people we're sitting with.
That's why you take so long?
Duh.
That's because every guy automatically assumes that a hitman is going to kill him while he's in the bathroom because that's his most vulnerable place.
Yep. See, that's what a girl thinks when she's alone at the bathroom. Well,
and that's why you guys always get killed in horror movies.
And put it this way.
When they go alone.
This is going to get a little heavy, but here's the thing. In a regular conversation, You don't grab your crotch and talk to somebody. That's what you do in the bathroom if you talk to somebody while you're peeing, okay? You are touching your crotch and talking to somebody. That's not okay.
And I just want to throw this out there. Like, the whole gray area about, like, when you're washing your hands, usually the only thing you talk about is where you're immediately going after the bathroom. Like, so we're going to go hit up that booth? Yeah, let's go do that. And that's it.
Yeah, I'm not talking about, like, a whole deep conversation at the sink. You don't want to get into something there, but, you know, just like a yes or no, that's a good conversation.
I think that's usually where girls talk about boys because the boys don't go in there.
And then, okay, so
I have another one. Can I do a do?
Wait. Okay, so Sean has another one. You have a do. Ladies first.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So a do that I've learned is so much fun. If you're in cosplay and you have a way to... Okay, just take the train in costume because it's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
When traveling in Boston, we always travel by train.
It's so much fun being in costume and people have no idea what's going on.
Well, yeah, because you have to imagine there's people going to work. There's people going to
school.
Yeah, going to school.
They're going about their lives.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden there's people.
And but there's a convention going
on. That's where we met Duct Tape Sora the first time.
I got a little anecdote. You guys have been to MegaCon before down here.
Oh, yeah.
What's the same weekend as MegaCon every year?
The cheerleader convention?
Cheerleader convention. No, there's this like cheerleading competition every year.
The election.
So now I'm
every
working
year.
In
every year. I swear.
Yeah, and
let me guess, it's like walking distance and you guys all hide in the like building
no,
with binoculars.
No,
they're literally the next hall over.
Yeah, here's the thing. Well, MegaCon in itself is a giant dealer's room, and that's it.
Okay.
No, and it's very much a comic book convention, but I have a point. I'm coming around to it. But what you're talking about with the whole taking the train in, we just get walking into the convention.
Nope, there's shuttle buses. There's shuttle buses.
And the shuttle buses, well, it's just the fact that, like, there's a cheerleading convention full of, like, 12 to 18-year-old girls and their parents, plus... Like, the next one down, there's usually, like, some homeowners, builders convention. So, like, the most vanilla of people are already in the same convention center. And then you have us.
Yeah. No, it's a great experience. Because Jonathan and I, every time we would go to MegaCon, we take the bus in from the parking lot. And the bus is just packed in with the cheerleaders, the business people, and the cosplayers.
Oh, my God.
So, it's this crazy mixture. Yeah, it's this crazy mixture of people.
All right. So, if you're an adult and you're at a convention... At some point, you're probably going to be drinking. This is going to happen. Be smart. Don't do anything stupid. Don't get stupid drunk. Please do not scale the sides of buildings. You will get arrested.
I'm Spider-Man! Batman!
There's a story behind that one. There was... I guess it's pretty much like drinking anywhere else. But like when you're out of town, I've seen a lot of people be really inhibited. This isn't the time to do this. You can take whole groups of people down being arrested at a convention. It's not fun. I promise you. Yeah. That said, though, dude, go out to the bars after drinking or after the convention and everything. And the only reason I mention this is you know all those really cool guests and everybody that you meet at the convention that you have to pay money to go see? They're going to be drinking, too. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many guests, creators, awesome people I've ended up just hanging out with at the bars, at the hotels, legitimately. It's an awesome thing.
Yeah. I usually end up in line with them to meet people, though, and then I just watch as they interview people and make people feel awkward.
Yeah. Well, especially at, like, the smaller conventions, like the hotel bar, that's where they're at. It's awesome.
Well, what's great about MegaCon is the comic book creators, they're just sitting at their table all day long, and if they don't have a line, you can just walk right up to them regardless.
Yeah, it's really
like,
great.
I met Ron Mars that way, Scott Campbell, J. Scott Campbell, just walking up to them. And even I had my sketchbook with me, and I was like, hey, J. Scott Campbell, here, check out my artwork. And he was
like,
oh, that's cool.
I realized I accidentally did that with, I'm trying to remember the names. I can do characters instead. Reza Hawkeye and Death the Kid. I accidentally met them, walked right up to the table, and they signed my DVD for Holloway.
Todd Haberkorn?
Yes, Todd Haberkorn. Because, like, they were Watanuki and Yuko, and when Holic first came out, they were just selling at the table, and you could buy it and have them sign it. There was, like, three people in line. I was like, okay, I'm so mad now, because I know
who
they are.
Know.
I didn't
you
know.
You didn't even
I
know.
I hate myself.
Hey, everybody has those moments. I had that when I met Humberto Ramos for the first time at a convention. Didn't know who he was. No idea. Yeah.
I'm so mad
guys,
at myself.
And another thing to remember is that if you do meet a guest, you have to remember that they're regular people. They feed their cats when they go home and have, yeah. you know, light dinners and everything like that.
And they have to unclog their toilets.
Yeah, they have to unclog their toilets.
They're yes. only this famous is when, this is, to us.
Yeah, this yeah. is what Daryl Gilbo told us
cannot,
when we interviewed
him. I cannot wait to meet that guy again, because Daryl Gilbo was easily one of the nicest people I have ever met. And he was, like, generally interested in what we were talking about. And here's the funny story when we met Daryl Gilbo. Because we were talking to the person who was basically bringing him around, and we asked if it was okay if we could talk to him. She approached Daryl Gilbo and said, two tall gentlemen with goatees want to talk to you, and they want to interview you. And he said, that sounds really scary. And so we
clearly
so
he
we
hadn't
met
seen either of you.
Yeah, no, he hadn't seen us yet. And so we met up with him the other day, and the next day, and he goes, oh, you guys aren't that scary. Yeah. He was awesome. I really, he was such a good guy. And that's what a lot of voice actors are. They're just really generally good people, and you can walk up to them and have a normal conversation with them.
Yeah, the difference between voice actors and movie stars are, I think they appreciate, especially in nerd culture, like even celebrities in nerd culture, they appreciate their fans a lot more because they're not movie stars. You know, you never see their face, and they don't know, like, they can't see their audience, so they don't know who is actually a fan of what they do.
Exactly.
So they have a lot more general respect for, you know, their fans because they like to know that, you know, people like their work.
Well, because the thing is, when we say it's amazing that I'm getting to talk to you, they think it's amazing that you want to talk to me.
Yeah, like
they're
this.
Only famous to us. Like, to the rest of the world, they don't know who they are. They're just people. And I think that's the neatest thing about, like, our whole, so, like, seriously, don't, if you can avoid it, don't geek out on them. Just be like, they're just regular people. You know,
very true. I kind of did that to Caitlin.
Yeah, though granted, like, when we're gonna attempt this Anime Boston, we're gonna attempt to interview Monica Rielle.
Oh my god!
I may have a small freak out because she's my favorite, or she's at least one of my favorite funny voice actors.
No.
Well, the number one that on our list for this year too is Kari Wahlgren.
Yeah, Kari Wahlgren.
If you don't know, it's Haruko Harahara from Fooly Cooly. So
that's your geek out moment.
That is my geek out moment. Yeah.
Anyway, back to the do's and don'ts.
Should I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so one of the don'ts is easily said, don't trust the people who you don't know who ask you to come to, like, a private photo shoot. Let me explain the story.
Do you do nudes?
I didn't do this. This is my friend's story, and he's probably going to listen to this later because I'm going to tell him he's in it and he's going to yell at me. But he was cosplaying from Black Butler, and the people who cosplay Black Butler are very religious about their cosplay. Like, they will be like, you need to know every little detail. You like
a lot
very,
of them
very,
like yaoi too.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is about
it doesn't help. Like, he was, and he's decently cute. He's and he's like all dressed up. I can't remember which character he
decently
was.
Decently cute.
He's like my best friend and from Portugal, and I like we all at one point all of us who met him had a crush on him. He's adorable. So this he's really gonna yell at me later, but. So he's dressed up in cosplay, and he told me, because he's texting me, and he's like, these guys from the cosplay, they want me to come and do pictures with them. And I'm like, don't do it. He's like, oh, it'll be fine. They seem really nice. I'm like, trust me, don't do it. And he's like, I'll text you later. He texts me later telling me that they wanted to do, like, shirtless pictures, and he got really uncomfortable and, like, ran.
They want me to take my shirt off?
Well, they wanted to
dance?
They wanted to do more than shirtless. I didn't tell you downstairs. I'm pretty sure there was, like, words of, like, making out pictures and stuff with other
characters. Oh my gosh.
He was really, like, freaked out. He's pretty much at the point now where he trusts me when it comes to that. But, yeah, cosplayers can be very, very creepy, but there's also...
Can be?
It's true. I'm a cosplayer, and I'm not that bad.
But, all right.
Oh, do carry duct tape.
Yes.
Do carry duct tape. Well, if a part of your cosplay
like
falls off, duct
like
tape
a
is
life
good.
Lesson.
All right, so I'm gonna talk about a don't right now, and this is a big don't. Don't yell in a crowded room. Every single year of Anime Boston, there's people screaming Marco Polo. What time is it?
He gets so
mad. Yeah, butt scratcher. It's It's so annoying. Stop doing it. It is very, very, very annoying. It's so immature. That's not me. That's I don't like
you,
to say
you,
anything. I'd
you,
rather just
you both get pissed.
Yeah, I get pissed.
They just really bottle annoying. It up and fume inside.
Like, but it's seriously, it's very, very immature. It's really annoying to the people who, one, don't participate in it, to the staff. We actually had a conversation with one of the security staff who was doing a line. We wanted to interview him, but he said no because he's uncomfortable on camera and stuff, which was okay. But so we had we just had a personal conversation with him instead. And what he said was,
I remember this guy.
Yeah, he was really nice. He just said he started talking about Marco Polo with us. And the fact that the convention itself was actually trying its hardest to find some sort of loophole so that people would stop yelling it.
Yeah.
Like, if you got caught yelling it, you get a warning or something. But everything that they're coming up with is a violation of, certain freedoms that you can't really impose. So they're trying to find some sort of loophole to abolish it because it's very annoying.
You could always say it's inflammatory, and they just, if they keep doing it, you can cite them for inciting a riot, legitimately.
Going along the lines of not yelling in a crowded room of people, that also goes for when you're at a panel. If somebody's lecturing, do not say anything. Do not interrupt them unless they address you. If they wanted to do a Q&A, then you can talk. Mm-hmm. If they are lecturing you and they are not asking for input from the audience, do not say anything. People try to be sarcastic. People try to add to the humor with it.
You're not part of the show, so don't act like part of the show. It's rude.
It is. It's very rude. You know, we're trying to put it together ourselves, and we're trying to get a rise out of people, so we're expecting something.
Yeah, and something with our panel, we wouldn't mind if people would join in with us because we would appreciate that. But if people don't appreciate it, don't do it.
Yeah, if somebody's doing like a culture thing, something serious, don't say anything. What's up, Sean?
So there's a convention down here in Florida called Anime Festival Orlando that I try to go to every year.
We did press coverage at that one.
Yeah, it's a fantastic little convention, but very specifically, it has a lot of panels just like what you guys are talking about, where there's a lot of like information panels, things where you can go and learn things. And I remember very distinctly, I went to one about Metal Heroes, which is like Tokusatsu. Anyway, long story short, there was this one guy in the front row. Every third word, his hand would go up, and he'd like start asking a question.
Oh my gosh!
But you guys know how I feel about the geeks in general, so.
Yeah. But Sean, you are a geek.
Yeah, but I'm a like well mannered culture geek.
We're a lot with it. Well,
he's a high functioning geek.
Thank you.
Well, that's what Wicked Anime is trying to be in the first place, is high functioning geek.
Yeah.
So nerd.
I have another don't. If you don't piss off the staff, because I remember that one lady that was really yeah.
That reminds me of something. And we can be a little demeaning here on the podcast, but I go out of my way at conventions to be as accepting and as understanding of other people's interests as humanly possible. And because of this, this is where my knee-jerk hatred of certain fandoms comes from. Guys, don't belittle anybody. Everybody's there to have a good time. Just because it's not what you're excited to be about, be respectful, but at the same time, also don't pressure other people. The next Auron cosplayer that tries to talk to me for any... I don't even know what it is about me that makes these people come up to me and want to explain their anime. I don't care.
Hey, you want to talk about Auron?
No.
You're like a nerdy Santa Claus, Sean.
And like, I swear, and I'm there, and like, I'm the guy in the Power Rangers t-shirt and the khaki shorts, because that's me. That's just who I am. And I'm like, and they'll come up and they'll start talking to me about like some stupid vampire anime. I was like, what makes you think?
Vampire Knight?
It could be anything.
Could be any vampire anime.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're all the same to me.
Have a lot of money ready because you don't think that you're going
to... That's very true.
Because like, you don't think you're going to
whatever your budget
much,
is,
but if
do
you,
it another 150% more.
Yeah, because you got to take into account the fact that, like, one, there's the hotel payment that you got to split with everybody even though you have, like, 30 people jammed in a room. Then you've got, like...
Which is also illegal. Be careful.
Yeah,
if you
no,
do
we,
that,
we
don't... If you
that.
If you don't do that, don't... If you get caught, they'll kick you out.
Yeah.
Because that's technically stealing.
Yep.
You need money for that. You need money to go shopping because you're going to see things you want. You're going to see lots of things you want. You're going to need money for the art you're going to be buying.
Yep.
You're also going to need money for food.
Everybody
and,
forgets
like, you won't take that into effect. Exactly.
Now,
everyone always forgets food, but then you're going to get to the point where you're, like, dying or...
Yeah, there's a food court at Anime Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, that brings up a really good point, too.
the convention, our convention hall, ours, maybe not other ones, but this is a good point for in general. If your convention hall has a public area where there's other things, do not bring the convention to that area.
Oh, yeah, because
they have a rule about weapons, too.
Well, because the thing is, the Prudential Center is a mall. So there's, because it's the Heinz Convention Center in the Prudential Center. So the Prudential Center is a mall where people buy things and normal people go to shop and be.
And to get between the, like, hotel, and the cons, and the food.
Well, and the thing is, hallways of the thing is, people from the convention goers think it's okay to continue screaming out in the middle of all those people.
Be conscious of the other people around you staying in the hotel. If you're not the con block, you are not around people who know what's going on.
That's a really good point, actually. Last year, the rave got shut down early, and actually, but this, for various reasons, but this happens previous years as well. During the rave time, or even other times, people have elevator raves.
Not a great idea.
This is the most, like, face-punchable act that you can probably do.
Can you hit them? I want to.
Because, one, you're taking up all the elevator space. Two, you're making a crap ton of noise going up and down the floors.
Plus, it already takes 4 years.
Yeah, because everybody's waiting for the elevators. Three, there's regular people still going up and down, and you're just annoying.
And ruining their vacation.
Yeah, and you're ruining their vacation. And, like, this is not okay. Like, an elevator's, like, you know, a public transportation. Technically, it's public transportation.
Yeah.
And, like, you're playing loud music and dancing on it, and, like, come on, come join our party.
Yeah,
that's stupid. That's really stupid.
There's the raves, and then there's the people. One year, there was this girl who, like, she was dressed in some witch costume, and she's jumping in front of the elevator door when it opens to scare the people that were coming out, thinking they'd all be anime people, and there was normal people, and it's rude.
Yeah, and see, you guys, like, and I know there's, like, people who go to the raves. They go to the rave just to have fun.
Yeah.
And that's cool, and have a good time at the rave.
Or to see Greg Ayers being a DJ.
Ooh, you want to hear a funny story about Johnny Young Bosch in this? So this is one involving a mutual friend of ours, Travis, and Johnny Young Bosch. So we were at this terrible convention up in Jacksonville, and he was one of the guests, and it was, like, the floor was closing down for the day, and we were all getting ready to go do whatever. The particular hotel that we were in is also a golf resort, so there was, like, a lot of, well, drunk white guys, honestly. And they didn't understand what was going on the convention floor, and not 15 feet away from Travis and I's booth, there was a altercation occurring on the floor between one of the guests and somebody that was cosplaying. And the guy that was cosplaying was, like, trying to get away from him, and the guy was, like, berating him. Well, this caused a bit of a stir, so, like, Travis and I get up, because we're both fairly large guys, and as most people that know that go to conventions, there's not a lot of large people there.
Well, large in the way you mean.
Yeah, you mean, because you're like, big, bulky, muscular, where there are large people who have weight.
Yeah, so. Man, Steve!
But there's, anyways.
There's most of the people, though, are, like, skinny, waif-like little people.
Like me!
We go to step over there, and the guy had, like, at this point, had now hit the cosplayer, because I have no idea why. So Travis and I did what we normally do, which is we both split up, and I was going to go get the guy's attention, and Travis was going to hit him in the back of the head.
Oh, were bottles breaking at this point?
I wish. But, like, as we did it, like, the crowd caught me, and I couldn't get to where I was trying to go. Well, Travis got the guy and drug him back, and somebody put their hand on Travis's back to be like, yo, I got your back. It was Johnny Young Bosch.
Are you serious?
As in, like, the Power Ranger.
The Black Ranger.
The Black Ranger. This is true.
And then
story.
Did Travis awesome. Just go, it's morphin' time.
No, the best part was he didn't even know who it was. Like, he was like, oh, dude, thanks for having my back. I was like, I really want to take credit for this one. But it was Johnny Young Bosch, which was a way cooler story. So, that happened. That was real. You just be careful around the vanilla people. They don't know any better.
Yeah. So it's time for some fan service.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have a couple pieces of fan service for you guys this time around. Our first one will go back a couple episodes to our American Cartoons episode. Our fan Rachel sent us a message being very rather disappointed in us that we did not talk about Venture Brothers.
Why would we have talked
about
Venture
Brothers? Sorry, it's my opinion.
What? Because we did American Cartoons.
Oh. Well,
Yeah.
It doesn't relate to Japanese stuff at all.
We talked about American cartoons on an episode.
Yeah, Sean, you weren't here for an episode that we talked about American cartoons.
Life still goes on when you're not around, Sean.
Bullshit.
I wasn't here for that one either, so I don't know.
Yeah, but then don't contribute to the conversation, guys. Gosh.
All right.
Rachel,
sorry, Rachel.
We do like Venture Brothers. I have not seen the entire series in continuum, but it is a rather funny show. I like the characters in it, and there's some really good voice actors.
I love Brock and all that so much.
I enjoy.
Yeah, no, I will definitely watch it while it's on. It makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, and it's a good concept for a show. It's like, what if Johnny Quest grew up and had kids
and was terrible at life.
Yeah, and was basically a terrible person.
Became a failure. He did not. He wanted to become his father, but he cannot achieve being his father.
Which it's really funny because Johnny Quest and Haji are actually in the show as like crazy people.
Yeah.
Well, actually, like Haji is like a telemarketer person because he's Indian, and Johnny Quest is like a crazy old man who lives in that little submarine. Like, you don't talk about my father, man. Like,
he's all drugged out and strung out. Yeah.
Still, my favorite scene from that show has to be, you know, when the two henchmen are going back to the Monarch, and he's getting, like, ready, and they're doing, like, their own thing. Yeah, it was just, like, so funny.
Yep.
That was my favorite scene. And it's really funny.
I don't like it.
It's funny.
James likes it. Still.
So there you go, Rachel. I hope that will suffice for now.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next piece of fan service comes from our fan Jeremy, and he brought up a point from the last episode where we talked about, what was it that we talked about?
Love-hate
relationships. We had our love-hate relationships, and during that time, Glitch had a point where he was talking about movies and how they didn't go in continuum with the series, and he rather didn't like that. Well, Jeremy brought up the point that in the One Piece movies, there's one of the movies in particular is in continuum with the series, and actually you have to see it in order to see a certain key element in the series, which was Luffy turning or learning a new technique.
Yeah, Gear Second.
Yeah, Gear Second, which is one of the attacks he does. If you don't see that movie in the series, he just has it. But if you see the movie, you learn how he learns it.
So that's a little weird from what we're used to, right, Sean? Because that's what we were discussing with Glitch, is that...
Yeah, but it's One Piece, so it doesn't really matter.
That might just be the exception to that.
Yeah, it's true.
I honestly don't know any other ones that are like that.
I don't either, actually.
I don't watch a lot of knockoff movies.
No. But it's just the fact that it's something that, you know, is actually a thing. You know, it is out there, and Glitch was right.
It's definitely the exception from the norm, though.
Yeah,
was he wrong?
He was right.
Okay.
Or rather, he wasn't right, or he just wanted to see it. I don't remember. I have to go back and listen to the...
If Glitch was here, we could talk to him about it.
He's at a con.
So that's all we have for fan service this episode.
Like, hate mail, guys.
Yeah, and so next episode, obviously you heard that we kind of pulled our punches on cosplay at a convention. That's because next episode for con month, we're going to be talking about some cosplay.
Yep.
So now it's time for some shameless plugs.
That's right.
So let's see. If you want to email us, contribute to our do's and don'ts of conventions, if you want to yell at us for saying anything offensive, you can do that at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is all one word. If you want to talk to us on Facebook, or you just want to see our general updates that we have going on frequently, maybe you want to find out what's going on with Besom, you can go to facebook.com/wickedanime. If you want to check out our review videos, you can go to youtube.com/wickedanimereviews.
Subscribe.
Subscribe to us. We have a lot of cool videos, and we have some more videos coming out. We're actually working on a video right now. We're working on a couple videos right now, especially for the new season of anime. I know some of you guys have been waiting to see some of those. It's youtube.com/wickedanimereviews.
Yep.
So if you want to find this podcast and other review videos, you can go to nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. You can also find this podcast on iTunes if you're not listening to it there already. We also have a Tumblr, which Victoria.
Yep, I haven't been there in a while. It's finals week for me. But no one's commenting or sending us stuff. If you guys,
we're getting a lot of notes. We're getting a lot of.
I'm not getting any of it.
Well, I guess you just have to.
Well, then
post
you guys
should get
before
stuff.
I did. Well, fine.
make your own gifts. That's what John. That's all the popular stuff.
That
John,
was,
and he makes his own gifts.
I have a lot of like anime ones, but maybe I should just like. Well, apparently I bring people. the like hentai. So yeah. Maybe I should just start.
That's really funny. Like yeah, like a lot of times it's just like. Like, so-and-so hentai, we have, like, Street Fighter hentai is following us.
Evangelion
hentai is following us.
I don't know
like, Madoka Magica hentai is following us. Vocaloid hentai is following us. Like, really, guys? What is this all the same person?
Probably.
But, like, they all sign on at different times.
But, yeah, no, definitely come check out the Tumblr. I'm trying to update it every chance I get.
Yep, and that's wickedanime.tumblr.com. I believe that's everything that we have as far as shameless plugs. It is, which means that it's time for the music section, which we don't really have anything planned. It might just be another random tune. You're going to be finding out in a couple seconds, I guess. You will. So that's it for the Wicked Anime Podcast this episode. We will see you guys next time. It's time to sign off the only way we know how.
The Penguins won.
Okay, bye!
Bye.
'Cause people who will be very, very, like, proud of their characters and want to do other things with their characters and your character, just trust your judgment
the way
and
you said
run.
That, just, yep.
Another reason to not get too drunk.
Or talk in the men's bathroom. Hey, do you want to go to a private photo shoot? In the men's bathroom?
You don't need that shirt.
So bad.
He's gonna kill me.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. The Wicked Anime Podcast is made possible by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating, and reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com and click the support button on the top of the page. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all the Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social network. It's Wicked A!